Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Tuning the Bow,
a podcast. Tuning the Bow Live.
Tuning the Bow Live. Well, live, like...
We're live.
I mean, we're always live.
We're in the same place.
Yeah. I don't know. What makes something live? That's another question for another day. This is a podcast about the discipleship aspect of parenting. My name is Matthew Wilbanks. I'm here with my good friend Tim Rose in an apartment in Fort Worth. It happens to be my apartment, but Tim's on vacation. I'm getting ready to go on my trip, so I've been getting some financial stuff done, getting paperwork filled out, getting that ready to go. But Tim, you're answering emails on vacation.
Yes. Word to the wise, if you want to have a vacation that you don't need to answer emails or anything, don't do that vacation the week before a mission trip.
Yep.
Parents, rightfully so, want to know information about the trip, and they want me to send it, and I understand that. And so, been answering some emails, sending some emails, answering some emails about next year's trip internationally, because international mission trips do require a little more planning. And in the meantime, I have been fighting a rooster because we call it a staycation. I don't know if it's a staycation when you still go somewhere, but so we took this vacation at Mary's parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the staycation element, is we're not really going anywhere fancy.
Yep.
But they have a rooster. If you don't know what the job of a rooster is, the job of a rooster is to protect the chickens. How roosters do that is by being psychopaths.
Yep.
And they have a very good rooster who has decided that the camper with which Mary and I are staying is part of his domain. And I, the, getting close to middle-aged man that I am, and his number one threat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anytime you walk into any room, you just have, you exuberate intimidation.
Yeah. Y'all, I can't. There is a famous, I say famous, not famous as in many people know it, but in our lives, quite famous story of me being unable to kill a possum in my house.
Mm.
I'm not a violent human being under any circumstance of the word. What was his term? I'm a well-armed pacifist. I just don't like hurting things. But I kicked this rooster twice yesterday because he came at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, I went to kick and my Hey Dude fell off. So then I had no protection on my foot. It has been a while since I've been that scared. Because I was, here's what's going through my mind. One, I've got to now retrieve the shoe, which means going back into his territory.
Mm.
Number two was that I knew I was standing on rocks. And I am as fair-footed as a two-year-old child.
Mm.
So I knew the rocks were going to hurt me. But then I was like, what if his beak hits me in the foot? It was rough. So anyway... What Mary and I know from this is that we love vacation, but I am not designed to be Mr. Farm Man.
Mm.
That's just not a gifting that I have.
Right.
Bart Barber, the president of the SBC, might be able to do that. I cannot. I cannot fight a rooster. And this rooster, like I said, very good at his job.
Yeah.
They have kept those chickens for a long time because he is psycho. And I don't know if you've ever been chased by a rooster, Matt. It is terrifying.
I've been chased by dogs, but I think that's a little different.
Yeah, a dog can't make his whole neck flare out at you.
That's the thing.
The rooster takes the hairs that are different color than it, and they flare like a big flower behind it.
Oof.
And then he's just screaming.
It's like a peacock with an intent to kill kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a deadly peacock. That is what a rooster is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Anyway, that's our vacation right now. That's pretty much what I've done that, and I've gotten golf elbow. I mean,
yep.
It has been a middle-aged white man sort of vacation.
Yep, and after we finish recording, we're going to go grab some dinner and then go watch a fifth-tier soccer game.
Yeah. What's funny is our options. I don't know if you're aware of what our options were, of what sort of thing we should go do.
Uh-huh.
We're either to watch a fifth-tier soccer game, which is your thing. soccer.
Yep.
Or to go watch a fourth tier baseball game.
Was it Frisco?
No, they're second tier, sir.
Oh.
What's Cleburne has a game tonight.
Oh, that's right.
At 7:06.
That is right.
We could have done that. Mm. But I didn't want to take the trip down memory lane for either of us. Plus, I wanted to go watch the soccer.
Heck yeah. 2 minutes later.
Matt, this has been 7 minutes.
It has.
Of intro.
It has. You know what?
Forgive us, people.
We ask for your forgiveness for being bros all over the internet. But funny enough, that is what our episode is about. Yes, but it's not just like the forgiveness of all. You need to offer forgiveness more often. We're going to address a few things that have to do with parenting. And we're going to also address a few things of forgiveness is not. But to start off with a definition of what forgiveness is, I actually have a passage pulled up already.
Ooh.
Yes. And I'm going to finally break the cycle. I will not be reading from a CSB. I will be reading from an ESV, which is unfortunate, but it's what I have in front of me. And this
like
is
standard version.
I know. This comes from Matthew chapter 6, and this is the Lord's Prayer. And it says, you can probably say it. Now, Tim, I don't know. When you memorized this, did you memorize the King James Version?
We memorized one at one church, which was forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who have transgressed against us.
Uh-huh.
And then we memorized another, which was forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Yeah.
So as a kid, I couldn't figure out what either of them meant. Because I had no debt and I didn't know what a transgression was.
Yep.
Forever to figure that out.
Yeah.
But yes, I memorized both. I think the original though was like a different one. But I'm fairly confident, and this is not meant as a joke. It's gonna sound like it though. I'm fairly confident that the pastor of the church that made us memorize transgressions and transgressors made us memorize it because he was trying to make a church campaign for money.
Well, that's quite
interesting. And he knew he was gonna go into debt for the building. So, I don't mean that as a joke. I know it sounds like it, but I think that's why he made us memorize it differently. Because he's like, we're going to be in debt here in a minute. So, anyway, I would never say that pastors do that because I don't know if they do. I'm never responsible for putting the church in debt.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, that was a long tangent to say. Yeah, so we're in the Lord's Prayer. and so since it's from the ESV, it's going to have a little bit more modernized language, but it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then other manuscripts have, for thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen.
Yep.
But, not in this one. So, but I want to focus on verse 12, which is forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And so what we see here is forgiveness is two ways. It is always vertical. We can take some time to look at Psalm 51 after David sinned against God, and he says that he has sinned against no one but God after his whole escapade with Bathsheba, Uriah, and then Nathan confronts him. But we've spent too much time talking about being afraid of roosters to go into that too much. But that's the first thing we need to see is that forgiveness is a vertical thing. Every time we sin, no matter who it's against, it always includes God in that. And then the second thing we see here is that it is also horizontal. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And this talks about people who have sinned against us. Now, I mean, we can be honest and say we probably haven't been sinned against a lot. We mainly sin against other people. But there is that aspect that when people do things against us, we do have a responsibility and a command from Scripture to forgive, because if we look in verse 14, right after, Jesus says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, Tim, why do you think those two verses, 14 and 15, aren't talked about, but everything else about forgiveness is?
Yeah, I think there may be a reason that they're not talked about, because people don't like the consequences of not forgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and this becomes, you know, we bring this up because as we look in, you know, a parenting atmosphere, you know, we've got three main relationships, I would say, that are going to cause us to be in places of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You've got the direct relationship between you and God. You will be asking him for forgiveness all the time.
Quite often.
He will not be asking you for forgiveness, just so you know. In case that wasn't clear. Then you have the relationship between you and your spouse. The reason this is extremely important is not only because we want you to have good marriages here, mm-hmm. which we do, but your kids see this.
Yeah.
And you have to show your kids what a relationship looks like between two equals,
mm-hmm.
and how they apologize and how they forgive. Your spouse will wrong you. You will wrong your spouse. If you have been married more than a day, and if you're listening to this on the day of your marriage, on your drive to your honeymoon, I mean, God bless you.
Dang, that's dedication.
I would have found other things to listen to.
That's parenting in transition its finest.
Yeah, I would have found better things to listen to, but kudos to you. Hi, yeah. we're so happy for you.
Yep.
Yay. But other than that, if you've made it to day two of marriage, you'll have figured this out.
You probably have already sinned against them.
You will sin against your spouse. Your spouse will sin against them. You got to show your kids, hey, this is how we deal with this as equals. This mm-hmm. is how we apologize and forgive. And then last but certainly not least is the relationship you have with your kids.
Yep.
And again, it is going to be, there's a reciprocity of forgiveness and sinfulness.
Mm-hmm.
You will sin against your kids. Your kids will sin against you.
Yep.
You will need to forgive your kids, and your kids will have to forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, that the longer you go without asking for that forgiveness from your kids, you're going to begin to notice that subsequently they're probably not going to forgive you.
Yeah.
Because they've never seen it.
Yep.
Never heard it. And so we look at these, and I think it's important to remember in each of these styles of relationship, I'm going to set aside the relationship with God because that is strictly one way on the forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But in either of those two most important familial relationships, you have to forgive and they have to forgive.
Right.
And this is something that, honestly, like right now, if you're parents and you go, hey, we never have arguments in front of our kids. We never show that we disagree in front of our kids. My kids have no knowledge that either of us have ever sinned against them. We need to start getting some things right here.
Yep.
Now, am I saying you need to have knockout, drag-out wars in front of them? No.
No.
Don't need to have knockout, drag-out wars anyway. Am I saying that every piddly little argument needs to be become a blow-up so that you can have this moment of forgiveness? No, you don't need to send your kids on a unrealistic, ungodly roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
But your kids have to understand that, hey, mom has done things that are wrong.
Yeah.
Dad has done things that are wrong. And based on the fact that both mom and dad have a relationship with God in which God is always forgiving when they come and ask for forgiveness, then we're going to forgive one another.
Yep.
And I think that, to me, that leads to one thing that I really want to posit here is important in forgiveness. And we have to learn this about ourselves. We have to practice it in ourselves before we can get there. But I want us to notice, because this is something grown up in the church they don't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember finally figuring it out and being like, whoa. It is, we think of forgiveness based on verses like Romans 6:23 as free.
Uh-huh.
And there is a very real sense in which the forgiveness is free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, forgiveness of our sins didn't cost us anything.
Right.
There is one thing that we had to do, though. We had to ask for that forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You have to admit your sin. You have to ask for the forgiveness.
Right.
Matt, you know I'm not an expert.
Mm-hmm.
I'm far from it. I can't even beat a rooster by myself.
It's true.
This would seem to me to set up a theological understanding of forgiveness in which the person who is wrong must admit their fault and ask for forgiveness. Because, and again, correct me if I'm wrong here, it is my understanding of the cosmos, if you will, that none of us are getting to heaven without first asking for forgiveness of our sins.
Yeah. And the aspect of asking for forgiveness comes from two things. Number one, someone who recognizes their fault, or someone whose fault has been brought up to them. Yep. I mean, that's Matthew 18 in a nutshell.
Yep.
To where it's...
That's marriage as well in a nutshell.
Yeah.
There have been multiple times this week that I have apologized to someone and looked at them and said, hey, I said this, and Mary told me that it was wrong. I didn't realize it was wrong in the moment, and I'm so sorry.
Yep, yeah. But we also have to recognize that if we forgive someone, they might not forgive us.
Yeah.
And the wonderful, gracious thing that God does is every time we ask for forgiveness, if we do it as believers, according to 1 John 1:9, we will be forgiven of every sin and we will receive the righteousness of God. But that comes with the caveat that we are believers.
Yeah.
Because if we have not accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and the Spirit is not living in us, we are not forgiven of our sin.
Yeah.
And this is something you have to tell your kids, because your kids are not born believers.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we talk about apologizing to our kids, it's very easy for kids to not want to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, if you've done something wrong to your kids, it has physically impacted them negatively.
Right.
And what a child generally wants is to see a resolution of that negative impact.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, that's not always possible.
Right.
You know, sometimes you might tell your kid, hey, we're going to go to, you know, the ball game on Friday night. And next thing you know, your wife comes and tells you, we've had a dinner with my parents scheduled for 3 weeks. And you may say in your soul, by the way, this is not for personal experience. Really, it's not. But you may say in your soul, like, yeah, but I'd rather go to the game.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to go tell your kid we can't.
Yeah.
Because dad messed up.
Yep.
His mom messed up. Your child, who's not a believer, may want that just to be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I think that in the next steps you have to work into, what does forgiveness really mean? What does it look like?
Yeah.
Forgiveness doesn't always mean that I choose not to harbor negative feelings and therefore we get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
It always means I'm going to choose not to harbor those negative feelings. I'm going to choose not to push them down and
yep.
get upset and bitter.
Yeah.
But it often may mean that there's nothing that can happen on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
That this situation is just not going to be what I want. Right. And these are the no fun things to teach your kids.
Yes.
Because it's miserable, because you're like, but I want to fix it.
Uh-huh.
And I want to make this better. But you know you can't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're not here to give you every magical way to do it, because that would be a long series of what ifs.
Yes.
You know, the ways that we would encourage are, you know, I would say number one, if there is a resolution that's not the exact same, but that could work.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, okay, hey, well, hey, buddy, we can't do this, but maybe we'll do ABC.
Mm-hmm.
These are always a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The other things is that in the moment when you're doing the thing, when whatever that's miserable is happening,
yep.
to make sure that you've not gone away from them.
Yeah.
To be by their side and to be saying, okay, let's think about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, even if your child has forgiven you and said, okay, I forgive you, it's okay in the moment to apologize again.
Yeah.
Say, you know what? I feel bad that I made this happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest and most important thing is to actually use the words, I'm sorry.
Yes.
To actually ask for forgiveness. Because often what parents do is say, hey, I know this didn't turn out the way that we wanted it, but we'll figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, that's not an apology. We would never accept that in salvation, would we?
Yeah.
I mean, as a pastor, if someone came up to me and said, I want to be baptized so that I'm a person of faith, and I said, well, who is Jesus Christ? How does he deal with your sin? And they said to me, well, you know, we've had some mistakes and some things didn't go right, but ultimately, you know, he'll deal with it.
Yeah.
I would look at them and I'd say, I'm not putting you in the baptistry waters because mm-hmm. you're not saved.
Right.
There's not a we. There's a me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, forget the no I in team. Now we are talking about you and you have to admit your fault.
Yeah. And just as a side note, very quickly, when something egregious happens in your marriage, something like divorce or anything like that, it is not easy to forgive.
Nope.
And what you have to do, according to Scripture, is forgive. And this is going to be hard. But let me tell you, in the long run, your forgiveness, forgiving your ex-spouse that has wronged you, that says more for the gospel than the little things.
Yeah.
Because in the big moment to where your life has been, you know, wrecked and brought to shambles, when you say, I have forgiven them, and you actually have, you lay it at the feet of Christ and say, Lord, I cannot handle this. This is way beyond me. I need you to take it from here because I can't do that. When you give it to God and he gives you the strength to forgive and you actually forgive it, that also doesn't mean you're welcome. You're just ready to welcome them back into your life. There are some boundaries now that have been broken and it's hard to trust them. But we're not talking about trust. We're talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a difficult thing to deal with when you go through a divorce. But when your kids see that you are willing to forgive your ex-spouse, if they haven't forgiven you, guess what? That's on them. But you've shown, if you confess Christ, that you are willing to forgive because of what Christ has done for you, that speaks more about you and that speaks volumes about your God than anything else. Because none of us are worthy enough to be forgiven, and yet, as Tim said earlier, God has freely given forgiveness in Christ because of what he did on the cross. That is the gospel. Your forgiveness of someone who you don't think deserves forgiveness is the gospel in motion.
We don't want to teach, you know, we don't want to teach our kids forgiveness is some sort of foolishness either.
Right.
You know, I think it was in school. I can't remember exactly because I remember I got conflicting reports
uh-huh.
from my parents and from my teachers. But somebody taught me like, okay, no, to forgive is to forgive and to forget.
Right.
And mom and dad, if this was you, sorry, I'm about to disagree with it. Like, that's foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, forgiving and forgetting a wrong is foolish. I actually don't think it was my parents. I think that was school. It's what, you know, moderately liberal schools in Oklahoma. Like, we don't want to teach them that.
Uh-huh.
On the flip side, we want to make sure, especially in our family relationships, that we're guided by 1 Corinthians 5.
And 1 Corinthians 13, that says love keeps no record of wrongs.
Yeah. And we want to make sure that it bears all things, believes all things.
Uh-huh.
And so we have to begin to really kind of differentiate, okay, what's the difference between forgiveness and foolishness?
Mm-hmm.
You know, forgiveness, we can forgive, still remember it.
Yes.
But especially based on the varying degree of the offense,
mm-hmm.
yeah, look over it.
Yep.
However, if, and we don't have this in our family, but if, let's say, we had an uncle or something that you know, inappropriately touched a child,
mm-hmm.
well, of course, we're going to prosecute.
Yep.
But if he came to me and said, I'm so sorry, he came to one of my sons and said, I'm so sorry, you know, we would teach our kids to forgive in that instance.
Yep.
This man had become a believer. By all means, he's deserving of forgiveness, mm-hmm. and as I know you're about to touch on.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that I'd be saying, okay, boys, go over to his house now.
Yes.
You know, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And so we have to teach the understanding of, hey, we need to forgive, but yet learn from this.
Mm-hmm.
So we've learned something. Oftentimes when we have to forgive someone, we have learned something about them and we've learned something about us.
Yes.
How do I deal with a bad situation? What is this person about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we see this all the time with teenagers, when they become teenagers, that there's some switch that flips,
yep.
that makes at times them become dishonest with one another,
mm-hmm.
and say rude things about one another. And so what we say to those teenagers is, hey, now you've learned this is who they are. Mm-hmm. And if this is who they are, let that inform mm-hmm. the decisions you make when it comes to further friendship with the person.
Yes.
But if they're a believer, then they are fully supposed to give you their forgiveness, and you are fully supposed to give them theirs. Because ultimately, and I'll turn it over to you to discuss deservedness, mm-hmm. but ultimately it's not up to you and I of who deserves forgiveness.
Right.
Matt, who made that decision?
Well, that just so happens to be the guy who we talk about all the time. Is
Tom Cruise?
No, just okay. Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yes,
gotcha.
Yeah. No, Jesus, I mean, he sat with sinners and tax collectors, people who the Jewish Pharisees consider to be unlovable, is who Jesus, you know, had meals with, because as he said in his word, as he says, you know, a doctor doesn't come to heal the healthy, but the sick. In the same way, I came to save sinners from their sin. And this is the thing that a lot of people miss, is none of us deserve forgiveness. Now, also hear me say this. Forgiveness and trust are two very different things.
For sure.
I think I might be okay if I were to say God does not trust us with many things. For instance, not everyone is supposed to be a teacher, because God does not equip every person to teach. There are some people who are not, you know, trustworthy enough to teach, because they are either they're new believers or they're wrong in some way that needs to be corrected. In the same way, we don't have to trust every single believer we see. Now, again, we want to expect, you know, the goodness. We want to trust people. However, if people have lost trust, that's not something that's easily given back. But forgiveness is offered to everyone. It does not matter if your name is Adolf Hitler or Joel Osteen or Matt Wilbanks or Tim Rose or anything. Every single person is horrible company. Every single person can be forgiven.
Yeah, and you know, as we get to the end of this episode talking about specific application, mm-hmm. I think, you know, our specific application for parents is, as we've already kind of hinted at, make sure that you're, you know, forgiving your spouse, apologizing to your spouse, yep. your kids, yep. your ex-spouse, if that is so the case. I think it's also important to remember, you know, I forget who said this, we have to demonstrate not only forgiveness, but we do have to have an air of forgiveness around us. Mm-hmm. You know, when someone's wronged us, the improper thing to do is to shun.
Yes.
You know, but it's what we like to do a lot.
It's natural.
Yeah, we don't want to be near them. We don't want to deal with them. Mm-hmm. That's not. It's not right. Because often what happens, at least this is my experience speaking, being, I guess, a red-blooded male who doesn't understand some of consequence of what he says at times.
Yeah.
Is that often the other person doesn't yet know they've been wrong. That's the beauty of Matthew 18, is it says, hey, go to them. So we have to be able to still operate, understanding that, hey, this person hasn't yet asked me for forgiveness. But if I haven't gone and told them the wrong yet, they may not know.
Yep.
And this, I think, is critical in the family, because I can't tell you the amount of times that I have said something in the morning as I'm leaving for work that I didn't intend to come off as rude or mean or, mm-hmm. or anything.
Yep.
It was simply a statement. I didn't care. Well, I came home and Mary was upset. Hey, that was really rude what you said to me. Is she right about that? Probably. Is she in the right to come to me with that? Of course.
Yes.
And this is one of the things I think Mary does very well. Like, what she didn't do is bad talk me to my kids all day.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is what we end up doing, is we get mad, we show a completely different behavior, and then we can't manage to not make the situation worse. Yep. What does that teach our kids, though?
Yeah.
It teaches them, hey, when your brother or sister has done something to you at home, when you get to to school. You just bad talking, right? Mm-hmm. Bad talking to all your friends. Mm-hmm. Make the situation 3,000 times worse.
By letting other people involved.
By letting a bunch of other opinions be in the relationship that should not be there.
Yep.
And then, by the way, what's going to happen is when you get home and they do ask for forgiveness, you have to forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
But now the 3,000 people that you told and that your friends told, well, none of them know that.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's, we don't want to compound problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where that air of forgiveness of like, hey, if you haven't yet worked things out, this is where we, you know, the Bible shows that love believes all things and it hopes all things.
Yeah.
Your love for your spouse has to lead you to say, I know they're going to apologize. And so until then, I may not be happy with them,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to wait and we're going to make sure that we get to where we need to be at.
Yep. But there's also the aspect that we need to be acceptance of people forgiving us, because it's very easy for people to say, hey, I forgive you for what you've done. And you need to be humble enough to accept that forgiveness and not hold it against them. For you to say, hey, will you forgive me of this? And you hold that grudge. Guess what? Not Christ-like. In the same way, if someone else, if you try to forgive someone else and they don't accept it, what are you showing? It's not Christ-likeness. It's hard. It's hard. Forgiveness is a difficult thing because you've got... in a room of three Southern Baptists, you have five different opinions. Yep. And it's hard to get down to the nitty gritty. But really what Christ is saying is, if I have forgiven you, you need to forgive other people. If I have died for your sins, you simply forgiving someone is far less severe. But in the long run, you will show that you are forgiving, you are acceptance of forgiveness, and your God is a God who loves and wants to forgive. Because that's the other thing. God is, he is willing to forgive. I don't know how many times in his word he is, especially in the Old Testament. I mean, the first one that comes to mind is Jeremiah 29, whenever God is laying out the law of you will go to Babylon in exile. And then Jeremiah 29:13, if you seek me, you will find me if you search for me with all your heart. If our heart is towards God, forgiveness is coming. But if our heart is not, we shouldn't expect anything. And so we need to take a stance of forgiveness, but we also need to be accepting of forgiveness. And it takes humility, but in the long run, like we've said before, it'll show your kids something far greater than we could ever have done if we just talked about it. You show it and demonstrate it, and that is what makes a lasting difference.
Yeah, and I think my final thoughts kind of go right alongside that. Is ultimately with your spouse or your kid, whoever it is, regardless of what they've done, you know, I would bring you back to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that your sin, my sin, Hitler's sin, and you name it, all put Jesus up there.
Yep.
It was for that he had to die.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Paul says, hey, I'm the chief among sinners. And, you know, if you can be remembering that in the moments where you are wrong, yeah. you will become a much better person of forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Because as I get wronged, I remember, like, yeah, I put Christ on the cross. This ain't going to be that bad.
Yep.
I know it's awkward to at times go address someone who has wronged you.
Mm.
But again, you put Christ on the cross.
Yep.
The little bit of awkward that it'll take for that person who, especially when they're a loud mouth like me, is just going to go, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. A little confrontation in the moment is worth a lifetime of forgiveness.
Yes. So I would just, you know, continually encourage you. Remember the cross. And I think you'll end up in a place of forgiveness.
Do we have a resource? I don't think we have a resource. The resource is your Bible. But that'll do it for us in this episode. We will see y'all in the next one. Bye, everybody.
Bye.